And good morning, Central Florida. This is Fit Project Radio coming to you live on ESPN 580 Orlando. Fit Project Radio was designed for you, Central Florida, to answer any and all of your questions in the worlds of health, wellness, fitness, athletics, and nutrition. With me every Sunday morning is my man on the mic, my brother from another mother, Mr. Adam Lowry. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Brett. I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I am doing absolutely fantastic. I am so happy at the fact they let us on the air again. And I got to tell you, it's because of all of the love and support we're getting right here in Central Florida, man. I am loving this.
Yeah, they did. Even with my terrible jokes and one-liners, man, they let us back on.
They gave us permission, man. And again, I cannot thank Cox Media enough for bringing us back every Sunday morning. And I got to tell you also, we have been receiving some amazing feedback from this Central Florida area. I mean, everywhere from Daytona Beach, Cocoa Beach, Winter Park, all throughout or the greater Orlando area. I mean, I'm loving the 407 right now, man.
Yeah, the feedback from that last MMA edition there when we were out at that fight, I have gotten so many requests. Send me the show. Send me the show. Come to our fight. Come to our event. The calendar is full. I'm trying to make it to every event up here, man. It's busy.
I know. And I love it. And I cannot be more proud of, you know, what you're doing. And again, what we're doing here in Central Florida. Thank you so very, very much for all of your love and support. And once again, we are going to be bringing an incredible show to you again today. So make sure you turn up your radios or turn up your tablets, because this is going to be another amazing, amazing show, especially in the second half. We have Adam Lowry, man. You were able to interview Drew Peters.
Yeah, I got the young formulator. He's one of the top-ranked formulators in the business. He's a competitor, a pro competitor as well, and he's only 25 years old, man.
Central Florida, you guys are, again, in for an incredible treat. Adam, once again, came through like a champ. Drew Peters, a.k.a. the Vanilla Gorilla. This guy is, in my opinion, kind of like the Doogie Howser of fitness. He is 25 years old and has been able to come up with some of the most involved formulas in the health and fitness industry. And guys, this will revolutionize the industry, man.
Yeah, he's he came and dropped a ton of bombs, I like to say. He was putting some myths to bed. We only had 30 minutes, man, so we covered, you know, as almost in machine gun rapid fire, as much as I could get in 30 minutes about what a lot of people are asking, what they wonder about, what science means. What he was really big on transparent labeling and what that really means.
And I like that, because this is going to answer the questions that so many people have in regards to their own health, and not only just health and fitness, but what they're putting into their bodies. You know, what do those labels actually mean, and how are they defined? I mean, I love it. I am so excited to hear this interview. Central Florida, you guys, again, prepare to have these myths debunked, man. This is going to be incredible.
Yeah, he definitely does. He brings some fire, brings some heat. It was definitely a good conversation, a learning experience. He talks really fast, so you'll have to pay close attention, and probably I would suggest maybe even a notepad to write down some of the stuff he suggests.
Well, also, you can go back to ESPN 580 Orlando and look up Fit Project Radio, because I know they're putting it on the website. I was actually talking to some of the executives there. Due to the fact that we've had so much amazing love from Central Florida, that they are now going to highlight some of our shows on their website. So we'll be sure to put that out there through our social media. So again, Central Florida, if you guys have any questions, like Adam and I were just talking about, if you guys have any suggestions for a show, anything, I mean, let us know what you want to talk about. You can email us at fitprojectradio@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook there at Fit Project Radio. You can look us up on Instagram at fitproject.radio2015. We're also on Twitter. And again, we love to communicate with the public, man. So please let us know.
Yeah, I to put it out there, to email us, actually, I'm working on putting together a show up here in the Orlando area about high school. I know we're coming out of high school and we're going into the summer, but there's tons of clubs and training and off season. And there's a couple high school athletes that I've been privy to hear about. So I'm maybe working on something like that. I'm not sure, man.
I love athletes of all ages. We both do. I mean, everything from the high school athletes to the little, you know, again, the munchkin brigade to, you know, any even senior citizens that are just living the lifestyle. This is why people are living longer, is because they're creating that active lifestyle. So it's really cool to highlight and recognize these young athletes now, so that they are excited about the future, so that they continue living this amazing lifestyle. So jumping into all this, actually, man, let's get into these Fit Project Radio reports, Adam.
I'm ready to learn something or sound like a dummy.
Oh, man, well, we're always going to learn something here. So Central Florida, these reports are actually based off of your requests here. So actually, a lot of you chimed in and said that you love these little fact dealies. You know, I mean, it's kind of a fun way to get to know your body better, because the human body has not evolved necessarily in over 10,000 years. So it is really cool to go over some of these little known facts of the human body. So going into the health report powered by CenturyLink, here are some little known facts that you guys will be shocked about the human body. So for every pound of fat that is gained on the human body, you add 7 miles of new blood vessels that have to flow through the body. With new tissue that is created, with fat being that spongy material, as we start to store fat, which is, stored energy, it expands the body. So for every pound of fat gained, you add 7 miles of new blood vessels.
And if you've ever driven across the 7 mile bridge in the Keys, that's a long ways.
That is a ton. And so you can imagine, with people with all of this, this is why people have these heart issues, because the heart doesn't grow. I mean, it's about the size of your fist.
Just 1 pound does that, Brett. I can lay the length of the blood across the 7 mile bridge for every pound of fat I gain.
With all the new blood vessels that are created, it will stretch 7 miles.
No wonder heart attack. I mean, does that not put that in perspective? I mean, 20 pounds.
100%. Exactly. So now with muscle tissue is 3 times more efficient at burning calories than fat. So again, not only when it comes to volume, muscle weighing more than fat, you're actually... As muscles grow, okay, there's 2 parts of it. So this is why it's more efficient in burning calories. So as you're actually building the muscle through exercise, whether it's lifting weights or performing physical activities, putting those strains on your muscle, you are burning high amounts of calories. But there is a second part to it. Muscles have to repair. So as your muscles repair themselves, they are continuously burning calories because they need that energy. So in regards to just taking in fat and people storing that energy, when you build muscle, muscle tissue is created and it's broken down, as we've gone over before, but as it repairs itself, it's burning calories on 2 different fronts. Hence the reason why it is actually 3 times more efficient in burning calories than storing fat.
Wow. Look, these seem to be basics, and they are. It's the basics of what it is. But for me, when I can get a really good visual on something like the 7 miles and the idea of, that's right, you know, of course the muscles are repairing, you need to eat. But when I think about it and you lay it out like that, Brett, you really get an idea of why, you know, being out of shape or not being active or healthy can be so detrimental and has been to this country.
You're exactly right. Now, another really, really cool fact, Adam, about the human body that I love is, so as a human body, we stay at a consistent 98.6 degrees, okay? That's the healthy temperature of the human body. But if you were to actually consolidate all of the heat that is generated from the human body, you would be able to boil a 0.5 gallon of water in 30 minutes. So again, if you try to figure out, like, and the reason why we don't overheat is because we are in this expansive planet, planet Earth. So heat is able to be dispersed evenly and consistently. Now, This is where if we were contained in an airtight bubble, skin tight bubble, within 30 minutes, we will have produced enough heat to boil off a half gallon of water. And that's the truth. So be very conscientious of what you're wearing.
Well, that's a big deal because now, for some reason, my wife is a walking skillet. Like, I joke about how you could cook eggs on her. She puts off this body heat that's coming out of her.
Yeah, you're pretty close.
Wow, I may have to try that. I wonder what she'd do if she just woke up in the morning and I had an egg just cracked.
I bet you won't.
Well, I don't know. She may give me that other funny look like, really? Where are we going now?
Yeah, where's the bacon? So here in the last fact, Central Florida, the human bone, you know, there's a lot of this misconception that bone is as strong as concrete or granite. And there is truth to that. Now, I'm not telling you to take your forearm and jam it on a cinder block and because you're going to break it. No, chances are due to the force that you're applying onto your bone will probably break first. However, if you're talking about structural, okay, the compression that the human body, the skeletal system can withstand. So we're talking about, again, weights. You see these monsters, these incredible athletes that are putting 400, 500, 600 pounds across their back or on their body. Like, how can we do that? Well, the reason for that is because the human body, the bone, the structure of the bone is actually more condensed and much more solid than granite. So again, I'm not telling you to take your forearm and smash it against a cinder block. No. It's not like that. What I'm telling you is as the makeup of human bone, the density of it, the strength of it, aside from the muscle, is as strong, if not stronger, than solid granite. I love that, man.
We're like superheroes. We all have our built-in, like, granite man.
You're exactly right, Adam. I mean, that's why I absolutely love the human body, because, again, we are our own superheroes. So, guys, that was the health report powered by CenturyLink, and I hope you guys learned some really fun facts about the human body. I mean, this is what gets me excited every day. So now we are actually going to go into the wellness report, and the wellness report, as always, brought to you by The Cognitive Rampage, amazing book, found on Amazon.com. And again, I know, Adam, that we were talking about that if people order this book, which again, I'm proud to say that you wrote. And for people that do order The Cognitive Rampage through Fit Project Radio, they get some Cognitive Rampage swag, huh?
They do. If you order the book and you let us know that you heard this on Fit Project Radio, we will mail you a Tribe of Change Cognitive Rampage t-shirt.
Man, I love that. So big thank you to The Cognitive Rampage. Be sure to go to Amazon.com, look up The Cognitive Rampage, the book. Again, it will absolutely change your life. It has mine. So
thank you, man.
Strongly suggest it.
That's kind of you, man.
So going into the wellness report, it's funny because one of the things that, Adam, that you've done, I actually down in Southwest Florida had the pleasure of interviewing CrossFit Games athlete and CrossFit regional athlete Jeff Evans. Now, at one time, he was known as the strongest man in the CrossFit sport. I mean, the guy could literally lift a house. And this last weekend at the CrossFit regionals, he went in there and was expected to get top five easy, maybe even top three, and represent Southwest Florida. He took sixth, and they only take the top five per region. Now, my interview with him was, how'd you handle that? I mean, you can't, not just like if you were top 10, if you took like, you know, 10th, 12th, 15th, okay, you know, it's expected, but sixth, I mean, you can't get more like detrimental than that. I mean, that would be mentally, in my opinion, crippling. I mean, it would me. And Adam, I know that you discuss this with a lot of MMA fighters and a lot of other athletes when you train for months at a time, if not even years, for this one single moment, this one time frame where you are giving it all. And I mean your all. and you lose. What, like, so how, like, what would you do with an athlete like that? They go in ready to rock, and man, the world is theirs, and oh, here we go, competition, and you get your butt kicked.
It happens, you mentioned, with the fighters, and it does happen because a fighter can put 3 months and more and a lifetime of training in, step into the ring, and literally in a few seconds, it's all over. And I was talking to a few fighters after the last event, but, you know, to get to it strictly and directly is when we begin to value ourselves based on our performance, especially our performance outcome, then it becomes hard to focus on having any kind of value anymore. And athletes especially, because athletes are dubbed the title since we're kids or since we start, that you are the athlete, you are the winner, you are this. And so a loss many times feels like it removes who we are, like it removes that label. And when we can no longer either be the champion or be the master or be the winner or be the placer or be on something, well, then our value decreases because, well, we've been taught and we've allowed ourselves to judge our value based on our performance outcome. And when you do that, you miss the journey. We all know the cliche about life is not about the destination, it's about the journey. Well, many times if you're judging then your life then on the performance outcome, well, then you're judging yourself based on the destination and you probably missed the journey.
So again, so is there a way to, so along this journey, let me get this straight and please correct me if I'm wrong. Along this journey, would it behoove us as athletes to maybe even find like multiple, and I'm using the quotation fingers here, obviously you can't see it on radio, but to find almost like different identities, like, you know, granted, you know, we all want to be the champ, we all want to be number one, you know, if you're not first, you're last, like, I get all that. I mean, that's been my mindset. But along this journey, would it be like, you know, again, like the one thing that Jeff was holding on to, and I'll just refer back to him because this was so recent, was it disappointing for him? Yes. Was it mentally draining for him? Absolutely. But he had a lot of other good identities as well. He's a coach. He was at one time the strongest man in the CrossFit world.
I got to stop you, Brett.
Okay.
What you're doing is what I tell people not to do. Is when they start then to find themselves counting on their hands all of the reasons that they have value, then you're judging yourself based on performance and then again have a title and an idea or an identity. The idea is that we are not what we do, but we are who we are.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. All right. So good. I'm glad you corrected me. So because that's how I would take it as an athlete. I'd be like, all right, well, I didn't win, but I'm still great at other things, and I can, you know, and still just labeling myself that way.
Brother, athletes deal with it the most. I specialize in athletes. That's who I see and do mental training with, not just about mental performance, but I call it mental recovery. I work one-on-one with them because as an ex-athlete myself, as a lot of professionals deal with, and even high school players and collegiate, when it's over and that label is removed, it's 10 times more detrimental than, say, the person that did not associate themselves with directly the performance or the identity of what they do. And unfortunately, this country does force us into, what's our second question? Hi, my name is, what is your name? What do you do? And so what do becomes our value. And we no longer value who we are as a person. And no matter the performance outcome, it's that journey. Because I tell people, look, when you're sitting around the campfire, do you just tell the end of the story? Hey, I place first. No, you tell about the journey, the battle there. You tell about how you struggled. You tell about how you overcame sixth place. You talk about how your whole world fell apart at you in this one moment, but you came back victorious. No one wants to hear the story about how easily and genetically and you worked hard and have always been there and just stayed that way. The story that Jeff now gets to tell is that one. Jeff can now tell the story that I did play six, that my world seemed like it was crushing. And even then, I came back and won, because that is the ESPN 3030 I want to watch.
Oh, man. See, and this is why I love the Wellness Report, man. So wise words. Guys, athletes of all realms, everything from professional to amateur to upcoming to maybe even I just joined the gym yesterday. these are the words that you guys need to abide by. Understand that what you've accomplished doesn't necessarily define who you are. It's that journey that is defining who you are. So the Wellness Report, man, Adam Lowry, dude, I love this part of the show. Again, it gives me the goosebumps. So Central Florida, I hope you guys love it as well here on ESPN 580 Orlando. So that was the Wellness Report brought to you by the Cognitive Rampage. Once again, guys, if you want to get more of this in your psyche, which I do every week, go to Amazon.com, look up the Cognitive Rampage. Guys, buy this book. It is absolutely incredible. So the Wellness Report, man, thank you, Adam Lowry. So
thank now, you,
moving on. What's up?
I'm just going to add something.
And jump on.
And if you're out there, the mental training is also available. If you go to adamlowry.com or cognitiverampage.com, I do mental training for performance, recovery, as well as team mental training. So if you have a fight club, a fight team, or if you have a football team, or even you're just solo, and you want to deal more with mental training and not therapy, if you don't want to rehash all the terrible things in your life and you're really looking for optimizing and using those tools, man, you can find me there too.
Man, very cool. Very cool. Look up this man. So now going into the fitness report. So this is another one that we actually got an email from. We actually got it from Mike over in Daytona Beach, and he is he's actually looking forward to that summer body. And one of the big things that he was concerned about, Adam, was he has a lot of excess fat that he wants to burn off. Now, he's an athletic guy, Mike, over there in Daytona Beach. Big shout out to Big Mike. You know, he was a former football player, played at Florida Atlantic, and now he's, you know, he's – younger guy, still looking for, you know, obviously the woman of his dreams. And so he's going to be hitting the beach a lot. And he was asking, you know, what are good ways to burn off fat? So Mike out there in Daytona, here are some top ways to burn off fat right here on the fitness report on Fit Project Radio, ESPN 580 Orlando. So one of them obviously is to hit the gym. Okay. So lift the weights. So Mike, and all of Central Florida, the number one way to decrease body fat is to gain lean muscle mass, okay? And we're not talking about that bulky muscle. We're not talking about the bodybuilder. We're talking about just ripping and tearing your muscles, breaking them down, building them back up, and as you're doing that, you are utilizing those storages, which is excess fat. So, and that's where all this will come from. So hitting the weights, build muscle, burn body fat. The next thing is to watch your snacking. So again, as human beings, we have developed into grazers, okay? And what grazers are is they find, you know, those snacks throughout the day. And again, be very, very, very conscientious of not just what you're eating, but how often you are taking these times to snack on foods. So again, when you are getting that sweet tooth or that time where you're just a little hungry and you need to put something in your belly, again, I'm always a big advocate on very small small portions, but focus more on, again, those fruits and vegetables out there, because when people buy this stuff, it will be able to, you know, it goes bad very, very quickly. So people will tend to eat more and more of their fruits and vegetables. Make sure to drink plenty of water. Now, one of the funniest things is one of these mental tricks that people can use to actually curb their appetite so that they do burn off more fat is by drinking water. When people imbibe water, they put it into their stomach, and within their stomach, the stomach expands, and it allows the human body to trick itself to thinking it's full. And so make sure you take in plenty of water. And the other thing is, one of my most important factoid here about burning the most amount of fat is to be active every day. Now, it doesn't mean hit the gym every day, okay? It doesn't mean lifting weights every day. It's just doing something every day. I mean, honestly, taking your dog for a walk, taking your kids to the park, actually doing something physical and active every single day are the top ways to burn fat because your body is continually using that excess storage. Because once again, I know we discussed this earlier in the show, that's what fat is. It's just dormant storage of energy.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't help but picture, you know, what life was like back before we started farming and had cities. And it's kind of like, you know, I think about how we would graze. You would normally just be walking about the earth and you would come upon food. And I tend to eat that way. I graze throughout the day. And so the snacking you mentioned is kind of how I eat all day. And, you know, I try to think about snacking on things that just don't have ingredients. And as I snack throughout the day, it kind of helps me. And then it's almost like a return to the primal thing that we talked about and moving all day. I love how you clarify that notion that, you know, it doesn't have to be the gym or exercise every day, that, you know, back before we had a sedentary lifestyle, we moved.
And that is a great thing, Adam. And that's actually a perfect way now to end the fitness report and actually go into the nutrition report. So nutrition report, Central Florida, this is actually voted on by you, the top five restaurants that we have found here in the Central Florida, Orlando area. So we're going to jump right into this. So number five is a restaurant called Skybird. Now, if you're ready to dive in head first to the joys of eating raw food, this restaurant, Skybird, is amazing. All natural, delicious organic juice combinations, as well as some of the rawest fruits and vegetables from seed to table in the Central Florida area. Number four, Ethos Vegan Kitchen. Now, this is for you true vegans. This is an amazing, amazing Greek-inspired restaurant that is huge for lunch in the 407 area. So again, you guys, make sure to park your car. Perfect place for lunch on the go. Ethos Vegan Kitchen. Number three, the King of Falafel. So King of Falafel, again, keeping with that Greek-inspired, very natural. It is like I love. And I really do, because I said it like five times, falafels. It is, when they're prepared correctly, it is one of the cleanest, actually one of the easiest burning food structures that I've ever taken in. And actually, it's great to eat before competitions, great to eat before a hard workout. King of Falafel right there in Orlando. Number two, the Dandelion Community Cafe. Now, community is spelled with T-E-A at the end. So Dandelion Community Cafe, again, it is utilizing all natural, all organic fruits, vegetables, as well as that the actual dandelion that is a live food. It's known as a quote-unquote live food that is placed in all of their products. So number two is the Dandelion Community with a T-E-A at the end, cafe. And the number one healthy eatery in the Orlando area, the 407, Bikes, Beans, and Bordeaux. This neighborhood stop in Audubon Park is known by so many as the top healthy eatery in the Orlando area. Again, the food is incredible, tastes amazing, and actually so many people run and or cycle there. So again, it is known as Bikes, Beans, and Bordeaux right there. Right here, I should say, in Orlando. So, guys, those were the top five healthy eateries that you can find in the Orlando area, right there in your own backyard. Be sure to check them out. So that was the nutrition report right here on Fit Project Radio on ESPN 580 Orlando. And we are going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to have this amazing interview that Adam did with Drew Peters, the vanilla gorilla. We'll be back in just a few minutes right here on Fit Project Radio on ESPN 580 Orlando.
Welcome back. This is Adam Lowry with Fit Project Radio, ESPN Radio, and I am looking forward to this interview. I have been since I spoke to this man at Europa last week, and many of you heard his teaser on our Europa episode that we played in the very beginning. I played it for Brett when the radio show got going. And we got some emails too, right off the bat. And that was only 2.5 minutes of this man. And we're about to have a half an hour of this man. So, Brett, I apologize for the emails now. And all the supportive emails. We've had them both on both sides. It's lightning. And like I do, I cover all the mental health and wellness on Fit Project Radio, and I handle all the Orlando interviews. That's what I do, and co-host with Brett. And Drew Peters is the man coming on. He is a certified strength and conditioning specialist. He's a master of science, and I think that's an understatement. He is a freelance product developer and writes editorials and scientific editorials, I should be specific. Works now with a well-known company, but in his freelance time, this is what he does. And, you know, I wanted to interview Drew, not as a commercial. I wanted to interview Drew and the intelligence and the knowledge that he has while not being forced to sell us something. So being a science research guy, I really liked the idea that he presented to me, that idea that he did not want to do a commercial and seem that he was biased in any way. And that's a scientist if I know one. So please, everybody, I want you to welcome Drew Peters, man. Welcome to the show, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me today, Adam.
I was excited, man. Thanks for being on. You literally gave almost a 12 to 15 minute interview with me at Europa. Almost missed my friends grappling because I couldn't walk away. And, you know, it was just I wanted to keep going. And this is why you were kind enough to come back on the show and talk more about it. And since we only got so much time, you know, I want to jump right into what, you know, you said you wanted to talk about, which is what I like. You brought a mission to me rather than me having to get that mission out of you. So if you open up, man, just tell people what you do, maybe even where you come from, a little story quick up to where you are before we dive into all of the stuff.
All right, perfect. Essentially, I work in product development, and I do a lot of copywriting and scientific editorials for a lot of brands in terms of packaging. Of course, the company I'm with right now, as well as some freelance stuff. Long story short, I've been involved in, of course, strength and conditioning is part of my background in University of Nebraska of Omaha. And at the same time, the last 6 years, I've been in the supplement industry, which is where I reside now. I started out, I ran a website called supplementreviews.com as a director of operations and basically the marketing director. And basically what that was, and it kind of brought to light a lot of things, is just the consumer, what they're looking for in terms of products. So a big part of what I did for that long time there, and I still kind of do today with that mindset, is people want transparency in the supplement industry. They also want to have a rhyme and a reason if something works. They want to have a rhyme and a reason if something is safe. And they also want to have a rhyme and a reason of what science has actually been done to prove this product is once again safe, effective, and needs to be in supplement. So branching into that, it kind of ties into, I have a heavy, heavy research background with that master of degree in exercise physiology and kinesiology. You can imagine I've done my fair share of time in the lab and, of course, research and writing. So it kind of is a whole bunch of things I've got the opportunity to do. I've lived a very blessed life and in terms of getting to do what I love. So here I am today, and I know you had a few questions on, of course, what direction the industry is going, a few topics you and I chatted briefly about, the Europa. Unfortunately, people don't get to hear the whole thing, but hopefully we can touch on a couple of those more in depth today.
Well, they can definitely hear the whole thing. If they go to the Cognitive Rampage podcast, your entire interview is aired on my podcast. So that is on iTunes and SoundCloud. For everybody who does want to hear that interview, you can go there, download it from a million different places. So that is available. And to lead into what you say, you talked about the transparency. And I can't tell you, I interviewed a lot of people at Europa that talked about their labels being transparent. I mean, what does it really mean to have a transparent label?
Essentially, the reasons has come to light. Essentially, the supplement industry has been the wild, wild west for many, many years. People could put anything in there. They could put anything you want in the package. People have really cracked down on that these days in terms of calling companies out. Other companies calling other companies out. It's just turned this giant show. You know, you kind of got you do you. But essentially, these days, when it comes to basically being transparent in the industry, it comes down to, first of all, what are you putting in a product? Are you, of course, mislabeling something, calling something very cheap by a fancy name? Or are you going to be calling it, you know, exactly what it is? Like some, you know, goodness gracious, there's a bunch of scams these days. One of them has been the amino spiking and protein. Another one has been
pixie dust. Already, my man has already started. Man, you jumped right into that one, man. So, you know, as before we jump into that, because you know me, I want to know that. I want to know who's bull crapping people. So, so the transparency, we have to be careful then of what product says they're transparent and who really is transparent.
Yes, absolutely. Keeping it as simple as possible so that way we can, you know, have this in you know, not an hour, hour, it's on top hours thing. It comes down to exactly, okay, it's one thing, you can list everything's in there, but are you putting in a proprietary blend? In other words, they're protecting their trade secret of what's in your product. You're not going to reinvent the wheel, okay? You're, no matter what science you have, that's great. Everybody's heard of creatine. Everybody's heard of protein. Everybody's heard of branched amino acids. That's great. So what you have to do is you have to do the simple things correctly and also use the highest quality ingredients. I mean, that's great. You can put like 10 different things validated, but are you putting a full dose? Chances are they're not. So a big thing of what I know I spoke of, Jim Stepani, he's known for this. He's a doctorate of science. He started out with Gatorade. Now he's big on bodybuilding.com. I kind of followed in his footsteps. Steps, not to go above and beyond that. In terms of what we do with products, from what my perspective too, is full doses of whatever you're putting in there and things that have numerous studies, not just one. There's a lot of things that are interesting, but then again, there's not a, I guess, certain yes or no on ingredient is kind of still being tested. So I guess for the basics of that.
So what you're saying is you gave an example in your other interview then. So as people may say, like say, I think the interview you used, 70% of people had weight loss with this product, but it was just 10 people.
Yes. So exactly. That's a key point there is you can put anything in your product, but then again, how do you validate that? There's one thing, there's lies, there's damn lies, and the third is statistics. So keep it this way. If a company, for example, markets X product, this is our new weight loss thermogenic that we're putting out there in a capsule. We found that 80% of people that took this product lost weight. And that may sound very impressive topically, but then if you look a little bit deeper in there, look at what studies really say. This is a very light example. Okay, how many people did you test? Oh, we tested 10 people and 8 of them saw, oh, they lost a pound or two. So one, that it's simply making it say what we want to say, 80% of the population. It doesn't say how many, it doesn't say how much weight they lost. It doesn't say other factors, whether they trained or not trained. It doesn't say if they're male, if they're female. So there's so many moving parts in any type of study. Anytime you start making claims, you got to dig a little bit deeper. So generalization is the key word when it comes to a lot of people presenting studies. Hell, it's like a lot of times companies will use an ingredient and they'll have studies, even though they may be few, they'll make them say what they want to say. One of them is creatine hydrochloride. This one drives me batty. First off, anytime you're hydrochloric acid bound to creatine, if too much, it's going to eat the enamel off your teeth. You know, it's, you know.
What? No, they don't read that side effect aloud.
Exactly. I mean, in the small quantities it's used in, it shouldn't have too much of an effect. Of course, it can mess your stomach pH. Secondly, the more important one is that it's touted as being like a super effective creatine compared to the common creatine monohydrate. However, there's only two studies you can come across that were ever published. One of them was done in vitro, aka in a test subjects, and the other one was done by the people that invented it.
You broke up there. So you said there's only two studies on
the creatine hydrochloride.
Oh my God.
So it's, once again, it's jumping to conclusions. They may have found that it's better absorption, once again, in vitro, aka in a test tube, not even in a human subject. And the other one was done with all the things they're claiming it on it. However, that was done by the people that patented the product themselves and therefore bias. So, well, it does need a lot of studies done for the cost and also for proven efficacy compared to something like creatine monohydrate. It's just not there. But that's a good example of, you know, making something say we want to say.
You know, you hear that a lot. And even in the mental health world that I'm in, all the statistics and research that comes out with pharmaceuticals, et cetera, you see this play. You see the playing of research to say what we need it to say. So who is supposed to be regulating this industry to even inform the consumer that it says 70%, but that was 7 people and 1 pound each?
Yeah, honestly, that is one of the biggest challenges we faced. It's a lot of self-accountability here in the industry. Some choose to follow it, some don't. You can play nice with others or you can throw each other under the bus. Honestly, as a whole, the industry needs to move together to bring a clear cut and a more, I guess, accountable industry as a whole, because people are, for the most part, you're putting your trust in a company on whether you trust what they're saying on labels correct and effective and safe. And of course, if the science is following them some magic pills.
So I imagine then if the company has enough money to shape research to say what they want, then they have enough money to hide how they got the research they wanted.
Absolutely. You know, the beauty of it is sometimes, even if a study is very promising, very in-depth, it can be published by a college, for example. Another key you have to find out is who funded the study. I can't name names, but I know very specifically at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. I didn't get a chance to actually work in the study, though I wanted to. I was working on my own thesis at the time. A very well-known company in terms of making endurance products did this huge, huge, huge study on subjects at one of the Division I sports teams in endurance. And they did exercise physiology testing for many things. They did, of course, all the lab markers, provided the product, paid for this literally year-long study. And it wasn't what they wanted. They spent thousands upon thousands of dollars and didn't even publish research because they didn't get the answer they wanted.
Wow. I mean, hello, big pharma. I mean, this is what we're talking about, man. And, you know, I'm going to kind of lead into all of these studies, and I'm going to go to some more dangerous ones because we've known that steroids, real ones, have found their way into markets and GNC. And not to say that steroids are dangerous. I want to put that myth to bed too, because steroids, testosterone, these things can be helpful. So what I mean is stimulants.
Perfect.
We've seen some ripped fuel stuff come through some GNC and literally kill people.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you talked about that. You and I spoke briefly on this. And of course, this actually ties together. Of course, you talked about performance testing drugs, aka steroids, as well as stimulants. And first of all, I'll cover the PED version of that. For a while there, in the early 2000s, there was a pro-hormone era. Essentially, what they were actually designer steroids. In other words, they weren't technically a steroid sold as is. However, once ingested in the body, they converted through one to two steps into an actual steroid. Therefore, there was a loophole or a gray area where they could sell these supplements over the counter. The biggest challenge these days, they've cracked down very hard on that. We've kind of moved away from pro hormones, so that's actually been cleaned up a lot in the industry. Is the stimulants. This one is this something very fresh. I've been doing actually a few papers on this as of late, some informative articles, and of course, something I have to deal with in terms of new ingredients. "Quote unquote new" is you see all these stimulants these days coming onto the market and different bring up being the next big thing. They're getting safe, in other words. The funny thing about this, many of these products aren't new at all in terms of the stimulants. There was a big thing when ephedra first came on the scenes in the 1920s, essentially as a bronchodilator for medical effects. Typically, it's hilarious, all these weight loss drugs and stimulants come on the scene for a medical purpose, like for asthma, bronchodilation, and then they get used for an off-label use for the stimulatory effect because they release epinephrine. So it's pretty funny how they kind of resurface, like whether it be something like ephedra, known forever for weight loss drug before it finally got pulled, and then essentially
amphetamine.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not even joking. That's actually where it came from. Because essentially, the ephedra came on the scene. It was such a kingpin in the market in the 1920s. Other companies like wanted to compete with that with a chemically synthetic version that was cheaper, easily available, and a lot, of course, easier to source compared to getting it from China. So there was this big race of having all of these different stimulants developed in a lab. Okay, so you're talking amphetamine. You're talking about geranium stem, the big one that's been around for a few years. There's a bunch of these. There's a whole lings that were synthesized back in the 30s and 40s, and now they're just making their way, out of the old cookbook in the products these days of being a stimulant. The catch here, and the reason that it's a loophole, is with geranium stem, for example. It's called geranium stem, 1,3-dimethylamine. In other words, it's a natural plant extract. So therefore, if it is from a plant, a naturally occurring substance, they don't have to declare it as a new ingredient. Therefore, it's naturally occurring. And that's why it ends up in the industry. However, with geranium stem, the problem is that they were finding you cannot possibly chemically get this product out of a plant extract. It has to be chemically synthesized. And that's actually what a lot of products fall into in terms of stimulants, especially, is that, we're going to make the assumption found in a plant, or else a claim it can be found in a plant, when that's not really the case. I believe a big one on the market was a product called Craze a few years ago. And it literally had, I can't remember exactly what substance it was off the top of my head. It had basically a very close cousin to methamphetamine, like a very derivative in terms of the stimulant. It was an old school stimulant, 1930s and 40s was new, and it got pulled from the market. It was too close. It was a high power amphetamine. So that's the big issue we're fighting these days. It's like, okay, what's natural? What's not? If you're saying it comes from a plant, or are you creating this saying, hypothetically it can come from a plant, but that's not exactly been proven, or in that case, and it's not just stims. Many extracts in general, they say, this is a ingredient that we can get from this plant. However, it's okay. The one we're using is like a hydrochloride. And in other words, it's a chemically synthesized version of it. We can get 90% pure, versus if you were to get it from a plant, it'd only be like 2 to 3% pure. So it depends on, what you're doing.
So what you're saying is what people believe are new stimulants that are coming out are essentially just old recipes being remanufactured and that have found loopholes to get underneath some sort of FDA or things that you're allowed to do.
Yeah, that's correct. Essentially, if a product is naturally occurring, they don't have to declare it as a new supplement. It's called an NDI, new dietary ingredient, if it is something that is not naturally synthesized. However, if it is something that can be found in such a plant extract or something along those lines, I can put it in a supplement without having to prove its efficacy, safety, or things like that.
Dude, you're blowing me away, Drew. So if all I got to do is say it comes from a plant, even though I make it in a lab?
Yes, that's right. But, you know, there has to be some reason, rationale. You can't make crystal meth and say, I got it out of some tobacco leaves. You know, all that cigarette was spiked, you know. It has to, you know, be a typically, like, plausible. In the case of, I know I spoke on geranium stem as a perfect example of that, is that it, you know, it wasn't naturally occurring from geranium stem. It was being chemically synthesized. It was stretching the truth. So, yes, you can get that extract out of geranium stem, however, in a tiny, tiny, small amount, and it won't be the same purity compared to the chemically created version of the same thing. And therefore, they claim geranium stem, but it was a chemical, like, Frankenstein version of it that's more powerful and more pure.
Wow. And no one knows. So I think what you put out, that the new supplement, what would you say, the NDI or something?
NDI, new dietary ingredient. Another term that's used a lot in the industry with new supplements like that is, like, if it isn't 100%, I guess, proven to be safe, it's called GRAS status, generally regarded as safe. So that's another one that's a term that's thrown around there. But, you know, if the FDA doesn't like it, ultimately they'll pull something from the market.
I think our listeners can, those are good questions to ask. So if they're talking about a supplement, and I want to stick with the stimulants too, but if they're going to talk about any new product, or they should ask that, is it an NDI? Is it grass state? These sounds like questions people should be asking.
Yeah, it is. And oftentimes it's really tough to, know what to ask, because a lot of times it's just present a product. You know, they aren't going to advertise new product like that. So, new formula. And it's up to the consumer to, unfortunately, have to pick through and see, okay, what did they, it's obvious. I'll look at a formula. Okay, what's your stim base? Are they using, you know, plain caffeine? They're using something else. But that is the unfortunate part. Sometimes you put in something, get great reviews, and then all of a sudden, oh, this ingredient, for the most people, they'll hear about the ingredient after the fact, or they're like, maybe there's some safety issues with it.
Wow. I mean, and I know the people like yourself and those that you do formulas for, these are people that are in the industry and they know a lot of some things, you know, about diving in, and a lot don't. But a lot of our listeners, too, don't know. You know, they don't have your knowledge. They don't train, you know, like the competitors that you make products for. You know, they don't do that. So when they learn something from a guy like you that's so knowledgeable, just three acronyms like that can help people, man. So those are big deals. So the stimulants that are coming out, I want to keep going there. So this is how potentially things hit the market that hurt people or can't hurt people or aren't even real.
Exactly. The thing about this, it also comes down to a few items here. Any time that the pharmaceutical companies are losing money, there's going to be more of government just to have things pulled from the market. Whether in the case of geranium stem, I kid you not, the first reason it became public light in the FDA's attention is that somebody apparently died, quote unquote, for after taking a supplement containing geranium stem. However, it doesn't tell the whole story. While it is a high power stimulant, it can be chemically synthesized. Another portion needs to be considered is, under what circumstances did this happen? You know, unfortunately, the individual in question took more than a recommended amount than they were supposed to. They were exercising in 98 degree heat outside, and they had a heart condition. So we had all these three things that they don't need to tell. They just take the supplement, they had a heart attack, and they unfortunately are deceased now. You know, so there's always one thing.
And I don't want to just blame the pills either, because I've read some stories lately here of a couple young high school kids dropping dead on a basketball court from drinking a Monster.
Yep, exactly. Anytime you put stimulants into the equation and you exercise, you're going to increase heart rate. And the thing about supplements is they're not meant to replace anything. They're meant to supplement what you're already doing. However, a lot of times supplements, even something as safe as creatine. Creatine is one of the biggest, I guess, misunderstood supplements of all time. A lot of people think creatine's a steroid, or think creatine's going to hurt your kidneys, or creatine increases dehydration, or creatine causes cramping, or creatine makes you hold subcutaneous water.
Okay, yes, and maybe in a couple of those. You're talking an old football boy here, so I'm 34 years old, so that was my era when creatine hit the market. We were all over it. Everybody was on it. That's what we were doing. And that's everything I've heard. So I got a feeling I'm about to be told I've been wrong.
Yes, not just specifically you. It's just a lot of misinformation, never as popular in the media. Funny, in the course, the years and years ago in my retail days, of course, at the good old GNC, if people come in, parents concerned about they don't want their sons on creatine because it does this and this. Me being currently in grad school at that time, I'm like, well, ma'am, I'm not to be mean. I'm just stating the facts here that I have literally 5 to 6 studies on every single one of those disproving that that is the case. So literally for every myth there is, there's a stack of studies disproving this. For dehydration, if essentially it amplifies volume. So if an athlete is dehydrated, it doesn't necessarily hurt them. It can amplify a problem. That's the key. In terms of cramping, same deal. It can amplify dehydration. In terms of kidney damage, once again, dehydration. So kids, the key passage here is drink your water.
You know, I got a 16-year-old athlete, my brother, and she is a top-end athlete, volleyball performer. I mean, I think she's taller than me now. She kicks my butt, I didn't say that. Anyway, you know, trying to force the water for her to drink is even a, you know, it's hard. There's so many choices and so many ideas out there. What's a consumer to do with so many brand names, so many products, so many things? I mean, you walk into GNC and if you don't know what you're doing, it's like walking into the gym. You look at all these machines and they look like torture devices, and all these supplements look like you're just, you know, you're in Breaking Bad's lab or something. You know, what does the normal guy, girl, consumer do or ask for? I mean, how do we get through this mess, Drew?
It's going to come down to a big part of what I've done for other brands is product education, not just to the consumer, but to the sales staff. Unfortunately, sometimes they'll hire somebody not as knowledgeable, but essentially when they walk into these stores, whether you're trying on like a suit or you're trying on makeup, staying with a supplement store, you're relying on that salesperson to have knowledge and, of course, to steer you in a good direction. You know, you go into there and you want to buy some makeup, you're not going to give somebody the wrong skin color. You go into a supplement store, you're not going to ask somebody for a product that doesn't make any sense for you. You're not going to give a girl a weight gainer when she's trying to lose weight. You know, some of those things are obvious, but then when it comes to, okay, I want something to build muscle, do I need this creatine I've heard about? Do I need a protein? Do I need a pre-workout? Do I need HMB? Do I need a multi? Do I need... Well,
according to Bodybuilder Everything, I have to have all of that.
Exactly. So the big key part there is to have a little bit of knowledge ahead of time. There's many, many great articles out there, like say bodybuilding.com or even on the internet there, like basic supplement stacks. But the key is just keep it very simple. You know, 70% of everything you do is going to be diet, but then adding in something simple as a protein, maybe a creatine. And of course, if you like some stimulants of pre-workout, I mean, it's, you know, some of those are even luxury items. If I had to pick one product personally, it'd be a protein, a whey protein product just for recovery and, of course, protein synthesis.
Yeah, and I've heard, I've been reading this, well, I've read that I finished it finally, is Mark Sisson's book, The Primal Blueprint. And there's all kinds of things in, you know, to where I was taking these marrow supplements about, mm-hmm. you know, eating the knuckles off of chicken bones even, you know, that these things can be good for you and certain, you know, it's amazing the stuff that is out there that seems like that, like you said it, that are luxuries. And I think they just have to call Drew. That's what I would assume. I'm not going to research. I'm just going to talk to Drew and go, Drew, what do I need? How do I do this? Wade me through this mess.
Yeah. Lots of the nickname, you know, what's Dr. Drew have to say about that? A lot of times people overcomplicate things. You know, they like to think that everything is going to give them results faster. But honestly, no matter what you're using, it takes time. Hell, to go a little step further in the world of bodybuilding, you see guys, you know, they're whatever age, and then you see these pros like, oh my God, it's all about the drugs. They did this overnight. They did that. That's not the case. No matter what you're taking, whether it be quote unquote natural or more beyond aesthetic and pharmaceutical side, you can take anything these pros do. And I can tell you can take what Phil Heath takes. You can take what any of the Olympic guys take. You're not going to look like them overnight. You may not look like them ever. It combines years and years of consistency, the diet, genetics, and of course, hard training. These pharmaceuticals, yes, they help. But they're a very small portion of a very, very big picture. Same goes with supplements on a lower level. It, you know, it definitely happens overnight. Nothing's magic. They supplement what you're already doing.
Yeah, many people do forget the supplement, even though that's the name of it right in your face, which is to supplement something you don't have. And you do see a lot of people with nutrition simply take out a meal and put in a bar. You know, they take out this and they put in. Is there any proven research of long-term effects of eating, say, protein bars, Clif bars, these, you know, meal-in-one type things? Is there any research out there that shows that this is bad for you?
Absolutely not. In terms of a very specific thing being a bar, if when I evaluate something like a protein bar, honestly, I always pick food over a food supplement such as a protein bar, mainly. So contest prep, I'd rather have, you know, a full meal of chicken and rice rather than have that, you know, tiny little protein bar. I'm like, I'm still hungry. One thing to look for is just like, if you do pick a bar, the less things in it, the better. So first of all, check the fat content. What's your protein and how many grams of carbs, and especially how many grams of sugar. So that's one thing. Look at the macronutrient profile, protein, carbs, and fats. The next thing to look at is, what is this bar made of? Are there ingredients on it you can't pronounce? Is it going to be filled with a bunch of chemical fillers? Is it that? The nice breath industry these days, kind of headlined by Quest, they really cleaned up the protein bar industry of having very simple ingredients of a good macronutrient profile bar. I mean, look at the days of, you know, those big meal replacement bars. I kid you not, they're still around. They're Metrics, big, colossal, big 100. You're talking 400 some calories in a bar. I believe there's 49 grams of carbs, 28 from sugar, 30 grams of protein, and I think 10 to 12 grams of fat. You know, it is literally a meal in a bar. The protein's, the sugar's to the roof. Versus a clean bar these days, you know, lower fat content, high fiber, low carb, and a good quality protein source. So essentially, look at your bar. The less ingredients it has, the better. Look for a protein source, primarily from whey. This, once again, I don't need to start World War III here, agree, though, in terms of soy protein. It's a garbage protein in terms of what it does, protein synthesis, in terms of being a quality protein source. You're not going to have the same response compared to something that's dairy-based. And honestly, the biggest part is hormonal interference. You can have phytoestrogens, things like that. But one thing to be said about soy protein is it's cheap.
I love how you just skip over that. There's a lot of married guys right now going, wait a minute, my wife's been taking soy protein for years. And you literally said it causes, I mean, if you're talking hormonal issues, that's mood issues.
Yeah, it can. I mean, it all depends, once again, how much and how sensitive you are to something. You're not going to, of course, you know, be a guy that's gonna have basically a sex change operation using the bathrooms at Target next if you you know, use
some soy protein. You may not be allowed to do that soon. Who knows?
You know, well, I identify as female because I drink soy protein, I guess, you know, if they want to go there. But
that was funny, man. That was pretty funny, man. You had me like Dr. Drew's kind of funny.
I know. You're welcome for the emails that are to ensue for that one. I apologize.
Oh, it'll come. Well, I have two other questions here now. Is one, what about, you know, I guess, does the soy protein speak to the plant-based protein? Is that what we're talking?
Yeah, it's a plant-based protein source. One reason that everybody loves it because it's really readily available, and two, it's cheap. That's the biggest part. It is a cheap protein to put in bars. And the other one is like the characteristic of it. One of the key things is when you make bars, it is nice and moist and makes a nice texture for a bar. It's still nutritional garbage, in my opinion. But, you know, that being said, that's why it's used.
That makes sense, though. I get it. And I'm going to say all, because we see soy and we go, oh, granola, we're healthy. And we're actually buying a worse protein.
Oh, yeah. In that case, there's actually some good protein alternatives these days. There's many out there. You know, I'm not saying that you have to have a dairy-based protein. If you choose to do an alternative protein, there's many alternatives you can try. So you do. There's pea protein. There's hemp protein. There's rice protein.
Sorry to cut you off, because my wife is not going to have me eating dairy protein again. She will probably sleep in a different room. And I switched to a plant-based protein because of that. And I literally, it has stopped. I mean, all of the looseness has stopped. But I use the hemp base. Is there any research out there with the hemp versus plant and bean protein type differences?
It's a very new field. I mean, relatively young in the maturity compared to many other proteins out there. So far, I like them as an alternative for an athlete or somebody that needs an alternative protein source. And I'm not trying to convert you via our interview here back to using whey protein or a dairy one, but also a big part, if chances are if you're having issues with digestively with a whey protein, is sometimes people have lactose intolerance issues. If it's a lower quality protein, they may not filter out as much of the lactose, or else there could be some people have sensitivities to artificial sugar like sucralose. This isn't a escapade against artificial sugars. That's a whole other topic. But if too much, it can make you feel uncomfortable. Sugar alcohols can't be broken down by your body effectively, and that's why they don't have calories technically. They may spike insulin, but your body can't absorb it. It's hard on your digestive system. That's what makes you bloated. It's an alcohol.
Wow. Okay. Now this leads me to my next question. There's a word that we've gotten familiar with thanks to, certain local – fast food places that have used this word in other ways. That's why I think we've all gotten known with it. But I want to know what the word filler means in supplement world.
One big thing these days with specifically protein for fillers is like amino acid fillers or amino spiking. Essentially what they do by the old school protein testing values is that they would put basically, you know, the whole protein, like say whey in there, and then fill it, quote unquote, with things like glycine or other amino acids that are cheap they could put in there that'll read a higher protein value on the nitrogen testing, but then when all said and done, they're not putting the full amount of protein in there that they say they are. In terms of pre-workout, if you have like a filler, quote unquote, you're mixing in like something like dyes or maltodextrin or something really cheap to make it seem more voluminous. You know, or in a filler case, it could be as simply as you're just putting cheap ingredients in there. Like if you look at like a product and like they have this, and then for good measure, they throw in something everybody knows like creatine, you know, just to be a quote unquote filler for products. So it can be a broad range of what's filler, but it really does depend on what the product is.
I think that's what the fast food joint said about the meat that they put in them. There's a broad range of fillers of what that could be. You know, is there anything that you got in front of you that you wanted to share that we didn't get into that you have written down or came prepared? Because I'm going to give this the last bit that we have here. We got about another 2 or 3 minutes, man. And I just kind of want to open the mic to you to whatever it is.
Well, I know we have touched on today basically transparency in the industry. We also discussed, of course, ingredients on there, being new to the industry there. So one thing I just want to touch on, a lot of people, there's a big emphasis in terms of when I design products is everybody's looking for that next step up in terms of how they can change the industry and the industry trends. So I guess we'll call industry trends what we examine here. And this is something I generally enjoy watching. There's ingredient trends. And there's, I guess, product type trends. For example, this will make perfect sense. Back in the day, before pre-workouts were on the scene, that one product, everybody will explode. That's our pre-workout trends. They have no explode pre-workouts.
Try it again, brother. Say it. You broke up. It's screwing up. I'll edit from here. So just from when you started to name the product, we lost you.
Okay. One of the back in the day, the pre-workout that launched it all, was VSN, no explode. Everybody used pre-workout, then all of a sudden that was the pre. So then started the pre-workout era, everybody trying to get their own. The next big trend that you're going to see is the concentrated pre-workout jacked from USB Labs. You know, another joke for you there, the ongoing one. These days, people our age, if she doesn't know what the original formula, she's too young for you, bro. So, you know, it's...
I like it. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, it's like a pre-workout concentrate. So that's a good example of different trends. Everybody's going to concentrate. And now, fortunately, the biggest trend these days, people are moving toward label transparency. So that is one big thing that is in a positive swing, is consumers are demanding to know what's in it, what dose, and what exactly the reason is. You know, it's a long way to go, but it is coming. And the unfortunate part about transparency and putting everything in the product that you want to put in there is it gets expensive.
Consumers, what we wish for, sometimes we have to be careful. But I think maybe, would you think a trend is changing in eating and everything else where people are almost willing to pay a little more to get that little bit more organic?
Yeah, absolutely. And another key point here I'm going to call it out to is that just because a product is, you know, costs more to make, it also comes down to the company itself, how much money they want to make, okay? Because you can have that product sold for the same price. This may be a little upsetting, so I'm going to give us some. Okay, think of like, I will not name names here because this is this in general, and obviously I don't need to get either of us sued. But you think of a product like an essential fatty acid product, okay? In the industry, the key is... keyword is pills pay the bills. Very true when you come to like something like in a like a fatty acid soft gel. Okay, you think of a great product, it may be phenomenal, have omega-3s for anti-inflammatory, your CLA for body composition, you can have krill oil, you know, more concentrated omega-3, all these great fatty acids, good for composition, overall health, cardiovascular health, so on and so forth. One, for example, sells for I believe $79 for a bottle of this stuff, and it has like I believe 120 soft gels in a bottle for the large size. Okay, the sickening part about this is just because I know this is that you go into the store and you see it's $79. However, the store does not pay $79 to put that product on their shelf. They're probably paying $16 is how much that, And then for that, the cost for actual manufacturing, you're looking at a product that probably costs $4 to $5. So you're taking a $5 cost of manufacturing product all the way to $80.
Drew, dropping all that information, man. A half an hour just flies by, man. And I feel like I'm just now like getting a taste of some realities, man. And you dropped those bombs in the last 2 minutes, and now I got to think about it until tomorrow's podcast. But I mean, take the last 30 seconds, give out some love, give out whatever, where they can find you, all of that fun stuff.
First and foremost, Adam, thanks for having me on the show. You have an amazing show going on, your Fit Project, and of course, Cognitive Brand Page. Just keep that up. Hopefully get to do another interview with you soon. This has been Drew Peters. Oh yeah, tomorrow we're rocking it again. Drew Peters, if you want to creep on me on Instagram, it's Vanilla Gorilla Petey on Instagram there. A long time nickname, representing the bodybuilders, you know. But anyway, thank you for having me. Look forward to hearing the interview go live and all that good stuff. And I'll talk to you soon, brother. Thank you.
Thank you very much, man.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Central Florida. Those were some of the biggest bombs that we have ever had on this show. And now, I mean, we're talking any of our shows. Drew Peters, gosh, you are a man beyond your years. And Adam, you did an incredible job, my man. Once again, a complete grand slam home run on that. Guys, thank you so very much for that incredible interview. That, again, I have goosebumps. That was amazing. Central Florida, I hope you enjoyed it. So guys, once again, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you very, very much, Central Florida, for all of you and your love and support of Fit Project Radio right here on ESPN 580 Orlando. Guys, please feel free to email us at fitprojectradio@gmail.com with any of your questions. And if you guys actually have a business or company or program or anything you have on that would like to sponsor Fit Project Radio right here in Central Florida, please give us a shout at once again at fitprojectradio@gmail.com. Guys, thank you again for all of your support. I can never thank you guys enough. And we will be back next week. So, guys, on behalf of Adam Lowry and the Cognitive Rampage, my name is Brett Richard. Thank you guys very, very much. We will be here next Sunday at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning on ESPN 580 Orlando. This has been Fit Project Radio. And my question to you always, Central Florida, what is your Fit Project?